Russ trial is underway, and Special Prosecutor Orlinda Johnson began her opening statements by presenting her case against Alec Baldwin. Alleging recklessness on the set of the film Rust, Johnson's argument centered on Baldwin's failure to adhere to basic firearm safety protocols and his mishandling of the weapon that led to the tragic death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Here's some of that opening statement.
When someone plays make-believe with a real gun in a real-life workplace, and while playing make-believe with that gun violates the cardinal rules of firearm safety, people's lives are endangered, and someone could be killed. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this case is about. It's simple, it's straightforward. The evidence will show that someone who played make-believe with a real gun and violated the cardinal rules of firearm safety is the defendant, Alexander Baldwin. You will hear over the course of the next few days that in the fall of 2021, a movie called Rust began filming at the Bonanza Creek Ranch just south of Santa Fe in Santa Fe County. You will learn that this movie was a Western with a lot of gun action. And while it was a movie set, it was a real-life workplace for many people. But you will hear this workplace was on a tight budget. And you will learn that some of the people who were hired to work at this workplace were very inexperienced. And one of those was the armorer, a very young woman named Hannah Gutierrez Reed. You will hear testimony from crew members who worked on the set, who will tell you that to them, Ms. Gutierrez's inexperience was obvious. You will also learn that this workplace has some talented people. And one of those was the director of photography, a vibrant 42-year-old rising star named Helena Hutchins. You will also learn that the director of this film was Joel Souza, another talented individual who cares deeply for his projects.
Ms. Johnson then continued to talk about firearm safety on the set and some questionable actions or behavior, if you will, while firearm safety was being discussed on the set of Rust.
But you will see that during this training session, the defendant had somebody or a couple of people filming him while he's running around shooting this gun. You will learn, ladies and gentlemen, or you'll hear during this trial, the use of the words prop gun. And you'll learn a prop gun is this real gun. It's not a toy, it's not made of rubber, it's a real gun. You will also see evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that during the days before that fateful October 21st day, the defendant handled this firearm multiple occasions. You will see video footage of the defendant firing this firearm, working perfectly fine. But you'll see evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that each time the defendant handled this firearm, he did not do a safety check with that inexperienced armorer. And you'll hear that the reason he didn't do a safety check is because he didn't want to offend her. The evidence you will see will paint a real life picture of a real life workplace where this defendant mishandled this gun. You will see him using this gun as a pointer to point at people, to point at things. You will see him cock the hammer when he's not supposed to cock the hammer. You will see him put his finger on the trigger when his finger's not supposed to be on the trigger. You will hear about numerous breaches of firearm safety with this defendant and this use of this firearm.
And then there was this.
That afternoon of October 21st was that the defendant didn't do a gun safety check with that inexperienced armorer. He pointed the gun at another human being, caught the hammer, and pulled that trigger in reckless disregard for Ms. Hutchins' safety. And you will be convinced that the only true and just verdict in this case, so that true justice can be served, is a verdict of guilty to involuntary manslaughter. Thank you.
Despite Baldwin's empathetic claim that he did not pull the trigger, the prosecution insisted that's not true. Johnson asserted that the video footage would show Baldwin using the firearm on set multiple times without any mechanical issues. Additionally, forensic experts from the FBI confirmed the gun's functionality through multiple tests. But we just kind of have to take their word for that. Mm-hmm. Because they also destroyed the gun in testing. Sorry, you want your own independent experts to look at the weapon and give an opinion? We took a mallet to it and destroyed it. Literally. Not even exaggerating. Why they did that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because the gun wasn't dropped. The gun wasn't handled in some sort of way where you would have to hit it with some sort of object. But they did, and in turn destroyed the key piece of evidence in this case, which is just fucking crazy. So you just got to take the word of their experts of saying that the gun had was totally functional and nothing could go wrong. Here's the deal. I don't care what fucking gun you have. Things can go wrong with it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They can fail. And just because you test it over and over and over and it doesn't mean that it didn't at one point in time. And that one second thing that it went wrong, it could have. So, and why you destroyed the evidence? That to me is just, I don't know. I mean, if you, again, there's so many things in these cases where it's like, is this conspiracy? I don't know. It doesn't make any logic whatsoever or any sense whatsoever as to why they would have done this. Unless
I kind of want to hear from the FBI, whoever held the mallet in their hand. I want to know, did they think they were destroying some other piece of evidence from some other case and went, oh shit, I grabbed the wrong one?
I don't
or
know.
What was your rationale? I don't understand doing that in the first place ever.
No, it makes no sense at all. And obviously Baldwin is a figure that, you know, has some controversy around him. If you don't like his politics, you probably don't like him. If you do, you probably like him, or you're just kind of, yeah, but he's very much a you like him or you hate him type of guy.
Yeah.
It leads one to question a little bit who had the mallet and or who ordered this thing to be destroyed. And that person who ordered that thing to be destroyed, what was their opinion of Alec Baldwin? I would just be curious, because you know this is ultimately going to go back to him, and you're testing the thing and you're giving us, well, these are the results. Okay, well, can we have another test done? Nope, we destroyed it. We didn't need to, but we did. That is kind of the crux of this case to me on a lot of, it's just like, what the fuck? You did what? In contrast, Baldwin's defense, led by Alex Spiro, argued that Baldwin committed no crime. Spiro shifted the focus to how a live bullet ended up on the rust set, saying there's still no evidence Baldwin was involved in this mishap or violated gun safety rules. He was an actor, acting, playing the role of Harland Russ, Spiro said. He explained that the rules of gun safety are different on a movie set, where actors can act in ways that are otherwise dangerous in real life. Let's take a listen.
May I proceed?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. This was an unspeakable tragedy, but Alec Baldwin committed no crime. He was an actor acting, playing the role of Harland Russ. An actor playing a character can act in ways that are lethal, that just aren't lethal on a movie set. These cardinal rules, they're not cardinal rules on a movie set. And I don't have to tell you much more about this, because you've all seen gunfights in movies. And the reason that can happen is because safety is ensured before the actor. On this movie set, there were people responsible for ensuring the safety of the set and the firearm. Those people failed in their duties, but Alec Baldwin committed no crime. The most critical issue in this case is how a real bullet got on a movie set. The evidence will show that real bullets are never supposed to be on movie sets. Movie sets use dummies and blanks. Movie sets use dummies, fake inert bullets that look like real bullets, they don't go bang, for when you want a close-up of the gun. You can't tell them apart from live bullets by looking at them, which is why live bullets can be nowhere near a movie set. And if the director wants a shot of the gun going, you know, bang, poof, there's blanks that they can use. And those blanks look nothing like real bullets. And they are used for those shooting scenes.
The defense played a scene then from the church where Hutchins was shot, showing Baldwin as Harlan Rust being approached by two men pointing guns at him. Spiro described the Rust set as relaxed and reassured the jury that Baldwin's gun was deemed cold multiple times. No one had any idea of its venomous toxic element that had been inserted into this magic they were creating. Spiro stated he placed the blame on armorer David Hall, the first assistant director who was ultimately responsible for on-set safety. Spiro highlighted the division of responsibility on the movie set, arguing that Baldwin's role was to act, not to ensure gun safety. He stressed that Baldwin had no knowledge of the live bullet in the gun.
It is undisputed that the bullet was loaded into the gun by the armorer, the person on set whose responsibility it was to ensure the gun was safe. And so picture that moment of the armorer placing a live bullet into that firearm. You know, you hear the prosecutor say, you know, he did this or he performed in a certain way. He picked out the biggest gun as his prop. It's to tarnish him in your eyes. You will hear no evidence whatsoever. No evidence that anything Mr. Baldwin did, that something he did in that moment, that horrible moment when she put that bullet in that gun, none of it had anything to do with Alec Baldwin. And finally, the first assistant director's job, the head of safety, Dave Halls, checks it before it goes to the actor. And he will tell you he made a tragic mistake. He failed to detect the live bullet. And Alec Baldwin had nothing to do with that either. So all this evidence that the prosecutor just outlined, all of it, has nothing to do with these critical issues. Nothing. Which leads us to this. The evidence will show that on a movie set, safety has to occur before the gun is placed in the actor's hands. In this case, this unique case on a movie set, the prop gun was placed in Mr. Baldwin's hands and cold gun was announced, meaning it had been checked and double-checked by those responsible to ensure the gun was safe. It was just a prop. They all thought it was just a prop and could do no harm. The actor's job is to act, to rehearse, to choreograph his moves, to memorize his lines. He's Harlan Rust. He's an outlaw running for his life, who in the incident in question, he's pulling a six-shooter to try to defend himself. That's why the gun has to be safe before it gets into the actor's hands. His mind is somewhere else, in the being of another, a century away, an outlaw. He must be able to take that weapon and use it as the person he's acting would. To wave it, to point it, to pull the trigger like actors do, in ways that would be lethal in the real world, but are not lethal on a movie set.
My question would be, I mean, how would Alec even have known if the bullets were real or not? Because they were supposed to be dummies in there, not blanks, dummies. Mm-hmm. And dummies on a movie set are there to look exactly like real bullets. And if you take a magnifying glass, you might be able to tell some differences, or if you're an expert in bullets and ballistics, maybe. But you're handed this and you see, okay, it looks like the dummies are in there because they're trying to get that close-up shot. How would he have, what do they want him to do? Just start shooting it into the ground every time, every scene, just to make sure? I mean, it just kind of defies logic as to where exactly Alec Baldwin was supposed to know that these were not live bullets. I don't quite see where this would have, where he even, if he did check it, where he would have known, honestly.
Well, and that's the question that I've got with this whole thing. You know, whether you love or hate Alec Baldwin is not the point here. The point is, he's a dumb actor, okay? He's, I wouldn't want him in charge of ballistics. I wouldn't want him in charge of gun security, or safety for that matter. So how is he at fault? The person who brought that live ammunition onto a set, knowing where it was going to go, is the one who's responsible here.
But we don't know who that is. That's the thing. Nobody knows who it is or how it got there.
Was it a setup? Was somebody setting him up to shoot somebody? I mean, that's something that crossed my mind earlier today, listening to some testimony. Like, does somebody hate Alec Baldwin and knows that he's going to be holding a gun and firing it? So therefore they set him up?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it just doesn't make a lot of sense as to how this is his fault. It was double checked by the two like people who were supposed to be able to tell what happened, and both have been convicted, and they are serving their time for it. But none of these people on set were in any way trying to hurt or kill anyone by any stretch of the imagination. And when you see that scene, when they played it back in court, it really paints a picture. This was not like a crazy violent scene where he's running around, or he didn't just like walk over to the, you know, camera woman and say to Hannah and say, bang, bang, just for the hell of it. I mean, he just pulls it out of his jacket and then aims it where the director tells him to aim it.
Yeah.
And he cocks the hammer back and then it goes off. He claims he didn't pull the trigger. We'll never really know the answer to that. You know, and we can't ever really take another closer look at the gun because, well, the FBI destroyed it.
I just don't think there's a case against him. He's an easy one to blame.
Yeah.
I think those who were procuring
I'm not
the
good
props
at that one. Yeah.
And things like that. Those are the people responsible. Those who ordered these things, brought them onto the set. They had an obligation and a duty to make sure that they were safe. As far as the actor goes, like I said, he's just a dumb actor. He just shows up and spews lines and makes millions of dollars. I mean, that's fair or not. He's not the one in charge of this.
No. I also wondered if this wasn't Alec Baldwin, if this was just, you know, Joe Actor on set who was, you know, hired to play a role and this exact same thing happened, would he be on trial?
Well, he is a polarizing human being. We all remember the voicemails where he was calling his daughter a pig, and we all love to hate him because that's what people do on social media. And it was a big thing on TMZ, and he's easy to hate. So he's easy to point the finger at
in
this case, you know, just makes sense.
Yeah. But that shouldn't be what this case is about. It should be about his character. No. It should be about, you know, did he commit a crime? And because this is a criminal trial.
There's a person who's dead.
Yeah. The first witness, Santa Fe police officer Nicholas LaFour, testified about the chaotic aftermath of the shooting. LaFour, the first law enforcement officer on the scene, expressed concerns about witnesses speaking to each other, potentially tainting their statements. He described setting up a crime scene perimeter and instructing Baldwin not to speak to others. However, footage showed Baldwin speaking about the incident, raising questions about whether he defied police orders. Spiro's cross-examination on LaFour focused on procedural mistakes, with the officer admitting that hindsight is 20/20. Baldwin's defense continued to challenge the state's narrative, emphasizing the absence of clear evidence that Baldwin was responsible for the live bullets' presence on set. Yeah.
You know, if you just shot somebody on a set and that wasn't supposed to happen, there's going to be chaos. People are going to be looking at each other going, what the fuck just happened? They're going to, well, I was doing this and then this happened. Well, I was doing this. They're going to talk.
Yeah.
That's human beings talk, especially in times of stress. You know, they're trying to find reason for what just happened.
Without a doubt.
It's not weird.
It's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what plays out here, what kind of evidence we're going to see. I think it's going to be a little bit more in depth than what we saw on the Hannah Gutierrez trial. Just because this is a very different type of case. Her job was to do this. Clearly it was to watch these things. And she didn't. Clearly also the assistant director also failed in that. That was his job. It was never really Alec Baldwin's job to do that on this set. So no. We will see where this goes as it continues forward. I don't know. I feel like they're both sides make fairly valid arguments, which is kind of why I'm thinking they're going to have a hung jury at the end of the day on this one. I'm willing to hear more before I make that official thought, but this early on, I think you're going to have both sides in that jury. Some very staunch that he should have been more aware of how to use a firearm, although this is not normal life. This is fucking acting. And then people who do understand that this is not normal life and this is acting, that will be staunchly opposed to one another. I don't know that you're going to get to a unanimous verdict on this. I just don't. Unless they can go to lesser charges. I don't know if there are, that's even an option, but that's my prediction this early in. We'll see.
Well, yeah, you've been right before.
We'll find out.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.